Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Incredible shock in the background, the music coming in. I'm back at Roosters this week. First of all, I'm Mudtoe Sasquatch. This is my program. Long time to go to. I don't suppose I have to. It's I found it convenient to go to places where there is, since I don't have any Wi-Fi at my home, to go places where there is can. Not steal, because it is a restaurant and I did order food, so I think I'm totally within my rights to use the Wi-Fi as offered, and it allows me the opportunity to do this without using up precious minutes on my cell phone. So thank you for tuning in and listening to this to my little my ramblings on this little corner of the internet I call home. This is the Midnight Garden. I wish I could tell you why it's called that. It just came to me one day. The show's had a number of different names. It started off as Mudtoe at Midnight, Shaman, and I just didn't seem like the Uncommon Shaman was. Although I like the name, it was given to me by a friend, David Two Crows, and I do. You see it in my rather long title of the show here, The Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch, the Uncommon Shaman, kind of shoved everything together, and the old shows as well as the new. This is a place I like. I like, I guess, dichotomy might not be the right word. The two things that fight against each other. You know, you usually don't find yourself gardening at midnight, although I have, and I know people who do, but generally that's a Sunday. Maybe even a rainy day type activity, as long as it isn't raining too hard. But, you know, the nighttime, maybe in the hottest part of summer, when you just can't stand to be out there. But the midnight and the garden, two things that kind of fight against each other. And that nature is in all of us, although that's a guess on my part, because I don't, you know, I'm not inside all of us. I'm only inside myself. And I know that sort of elements fighting against each other, trying to find some sort of resolution, some sort of inner peace, if you want to put it that way, is something that goes on within me. It's something that I like to speak about, something I feel moved to speak about, and I'm moved. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I hope that my words align with the intentions, align with the intentions of spirit, and I hope that my words find somebody who needs to hear them. And that's it. That's the whole point of my being here. So please bear with me, and I'll try. I find that when I try to say something, you know, really magnificent and meaningful, it tends to fall flat. And when I'm just and search, it seems to go better. This is what I've been told, anyway. So, just to bear with me, and we'll see what comes of this time we have together. And that was kind of vamping there because the waitress was standing right next to me. So, that's the downside, of course, of doing your show in a public place. Most people I find just ignore what's going on around them. I've never been able to do that, and it's caused endless problems for me. But most people, most normal, ordinary people, find it easy to just ignore what's going around them and focus on what they're doing, what they're thinking, what's going on with them. So, you know, a guy sitting at a table in a bar, he says, as two loud people sit behind him, that doesn't seem to make an impression on most people. But then, but if I'm, you know, there's a waitress doing her work, you know, three feet away from me, and, you know, there for an extended, I guess, in on a relative sense, an extended period of time, it becomes, well, you know, I think perhaps some listening may go on here, and that might not be. It's much easier for me to spew my thoughts in an anonymous fashion over an internet radio show than it is when someone is sitting right in front of me, unless it's someone that I know to be like-minded. For example, Chief Iggy, whose voice you heard at the opening of the show here. So again, you know, I've done this show. This is the third time I've done it here. I've gone to the archive to see what the sound is like. So I really don't know if you're hearing me at all. I hope you are, especially when these two fine gentlemen who sat down beside me. I'm actually having trouble hearing myself, but that's it. At least, hey, if you were listening last week, I was eating last week, so hopefully the show will be better than that. Take a little sip of my Sprite here. Hold on. There we go. I had a nice plate of chili mac at a dinner last week, and I didn't have time to eat it before I went on the air, and I was very hungry, so I munched it down while I did on the show. I think that'd be an interesting new experience for myself and for the listeners. I don't know how that worked out, but that place, the Wi-Fi there wasn't strong enough for me to use the internet to broadcast. I still had to use my cell phone to dial up the number and get the signal onto the internet, and the whole point of my going out someplace else is so that I can use the internet and not have to use up my cell phone minutes. So it looks like this is where I'm at. We don't have any all night libraries here in town, but I think when you're at the bus stop overnight, you might be taking your life into your own hands. I know there is quite a bit of grifting that goes on at the bus stop, and quite a bit of panhandling. And I understand there's a panhandling. I think panhandling is sort of more honest and direct. Grifting is more fraud involved to it, if I'm understanding the two terms correctly. But anyway, whatever it is, a lot of it goes on. A lot of both things go on at the bus station. So I haven't. Plus, you got to get down there and find a place to park and all that. At least. Decent restaurant has a nice parking lot. Bus travel out of the question at this hour. So you didn't know how much finagling around goes to just finding a place to do the show. I guess the one way to solve the problem would just be to restore the internet at house. It is a bit pricey, especially with events that have taken place this week, which I haven't quite filled you in on yet. And plus, I just, you know, our cable internet here, just not, it's like red alert whenever I deal with it. And nobody's ever been unkind to me. You know, nobody's ever been rude to me. They've never stolen from me. There's just so much effort, you know, much more than, you know, they took over a different cable company, so now I probably are, but they took over a different cable company, and they're doing just, you know, mass saturation advertising, trying to get everybody on board. And it's just my experience has been, when somebody is, I mean, tries to convince you of something, the more you got to, the more maybe they're holding something behind their back, you know, that big mallet is back there ready to smash you on the head. The minute you sign the paper. So, am I paranoid? Of course I am. But I just don't like them. And if I can possibly avoid having, you know, getting internet, at least, you know, when I go, when I make my fortune and build my beautiful new home, and I'll put Wi-Fi and cable in it, and the other thing that you can get, a dish. I'll get a dish. That's what it is, and I won't have to deal with them anymore. I can get my 500 channels and just view myself into oblivion and not have to worry about it. But for right now, I use my antenna and get a couple of channels that way. And so when I need to be on the internet, I go to the library or I go to a restaurant, which is, it's also problematic because, as I said, the income is going down, not going back down to zero, which is fun, but it is most people know, regularly know that I've taken a part-time job in retail, and I was training for a leadership position. I have found that leadership position is not going to go to me, but I'm welcome to stay and, you know, work as a foot soldier if I would like, and I have elected to do that because I do need to keep the cash coming in. But, and also, apart from the cash, it's good to have, I feel some, you know, I'm not putting myself to the fullest use, even when I was training for the leadership position. And to do that, and I want to do that, is going to mean moving on at some point. But for now, you know, I'm going to be bringing in enough cash to pay my bills and keep myself alive without continuing to rely upon the support of others. So it's a good position to be in for now, and I'm going to keep it. The problem is that the original position I thought I was going to be, I'm not going to get as much. So I have to adjust my expectations and see how well I'm going to what the limits are going to be of covering the bills and what else I might be able to do. Now, on the other hand, with this smaller amount of hours, I don't have to worry about my Medicaid so much. Now, we're going to get into the entire discussion of what is proper and ethical and legal about accepting help from the government. Well, I am completely, there's no question I am under the limit. There's nothing on. I am over zero, but I'm still below the limit that I need to be to allow myself to participate in Medicaid. I have no qualms about doing it. You know, for years and years and years, I paid into the system as a good working American, and I don't have any shame in taking that and dipping back into the pool when I need it. I want, I've had some problems making that happen. I've been working, looking for a suitable position for 4.5 years now, and I don't think I've been terribly picky. It's a different life. It's a different way of obtaining a job, and jobs are entry-level jobs, especially structured differently than they were when I was. I've had some trouble fitting into that system. So that's part of this time here. Take a breath, make a little money, pay a few bills, and then look into what the next step is. So there's that. That's one thing. It is very, very difficult to do the show with people very loudly talking, particularly when you don't have to talk loudly. I mean, I realize there is music going on. I think it's the beer volume thing. The more beer you drink, the louder your volume becomes. And, the guy you're talking to is like right across from you. It's not necessary. But it affects me. Trying to think and compose on my feet, and I'm actually getting not only physically but psychically, I'm getting more of the conversation that's going on behind me than what I'm trying to put into. Okay, come on, guys. it tempts me to pick up the computer and go and move someplace else, but it's not. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be that capricious about it. And there were other things I was going to talk about, and I filled you in on Mudtoe's personal history there. Again, this is the way it always goes. I'm in the car on the way over here, thinking about I'm actually speaking to the microphone and how this is. How this show is going to go and all the wonderful points I'm going to make. And then, as I said at the top of the show, it all goes, and I'm left kind of vamp and tap dance and try and try and make the thing work. Although, I know last week was kind of a low energy show because I was very tired and very hungry. This time I got here early enough that I could get something to eat and finish it before the show started. But also, I got onto YouTube, and I dialed up I don't have it here anymore. The Planets is what I dialed up. My brother was coming to a live performance of the Planets. Gustav Holstoff. I don't know what his name was. He wrote this thing, this famous piece of classical music. We wrote sort of an ode to each of the planets, you know, some music for each one. And the first one he wrote, or the first one that's performed, is Mars. And, you know, Mars is the god of war, and it's a very big, crashing, dramatic kind of music. And John Williams was one, you know, who took some cues from that in writing music for Star Wars. And then for the Star Trek movies, also the composer took some cues from that piece of music. So it's very big and very very energetic. So I put that on the headphones whilst I was eating, kind of blocked out the confusion that's around me, and just listened to that kind of, I want to say heavy music. It's not really heavy. To me, heavy music is like dragging you down music. This was pumping you up kind of music, and it pumped me. I'm pumped, so I'm thinking, okay, next, from now on, some form of big crashy music before the show to get me ready to go. And another lawbreaker. That's what I was going to talk about. I'm sitting at this restaurant I'm at. It's a sports bar, and it has an outside. Inappropriate this time because it's still rather chilly here in my my estate in the Midwest, my large city in the Midwest. And doors to the outside patio, the management has asked people not to use it because every time you open it, it lets cold air into the main restaurant. So just you please use the main door. And there's a big sign on this auxiliary door asking people not to do it. But as I said, I just saw the fifth person since I've been sitting here. Scofflaws. Just where's your social contract? Respect for the people around you. What am I saying? I don't know. But it's just one of those things that kind of burns me when I see people not. I mean, I don't know. One might argue, well, they're not party to the rules. So, and they're. And they're paying guests too, so you know why should they have to follow what everybody else is doing? But I don't know. As I said, I use the word social contract. I mean, I believe very very strongly in that. It's people. We have a set of rules that the set of rules that benefit everybody, and even if we don't agree with it. You know, we need to keep society intact. We need to think about them and remember them, and that's something that's kind of falling apart here lately, along with compromise and civility. Compromise and civility contract. It's all going away as people just become it's predatory. I'm the most important person on the earth. And I'm justified in doing whatever I do to, you know, make myself comfortable. And if we end up someday in the near future, we end up 300 million individual units instead of one people, I don't think that's going to be good for us. I think it's a lot of the things that we've come to take for granted. Are going to, you know, I mean, when people stop, I mean, this is oversimplifying. Let's say somebody came to stop, the people would stop coming to the restaurant because it's cold in there all the time because certain people just keep opening the door. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But example. I'm going to type this up, see if I can find this on Google. It's called the Tragedy of the Commons. And I'm typing it in now. I can tell the story pretty well. I know a lot of the details, and I keep saying every time I use this example, before I use it again, I'm gonna look it up and find out. Make sure I've got the details right, or at least I'm okay. So this is from Wikipedia. The tragedy of the commons is a term used in social science to describe a situation in a shared resource system where individual users acting independently according to their own self-interest behave contrary to the common good of all users by depleting or spoiling that resource through their collective action. In other words, it was a community had designated a piece of land for the grazing of cattle. That people could, if you had a cow, you could graze them there for free. And it was thought, okay, that this people will graze their cows and they'll make money and they'll make more cows, and more cows is good for everybody. What happened was people started bringing, instead of two or three cows, they brought 100 cows or 1,000 cows. The people with the most cows crowded out, the smaller operator. And not only that, they had so many cows that it wiped out the resource. They grazed the entire field, and then nobody had it. So, that's the example that's given how you can't, why there have to be restraints on capitalism, because you're dyed-in-the-wool capitalists will say, no, the best thing to do is just let capitalists go. Well, if you let capitalists go, resources are going to be depleted, and then we won't have crabs and lobsters, we won't have corn, it's just used up because you can't, there's things you can't grow. Is it corn that you can't grow every year? You got to rotate, put like corn in and then soybeans and then corn and then soybeans, or maybe it's corn twice, then soybeans, I don't know. But you deplete the soil if you plant the same thing every year. But if somebody's making more money off of one or the other, they would be under predatory capitalism, or predatory individualism would be totally justified in planting that plant every year until the soil was completely dead. And then, so much. What was I going to say? There's no thought for what I just do what I'm going to do, and then tomorrow, let's care. Let's not care. Okay, more general examples of potential and actual tragedies. Okay, that's why I always wonder if the tragedy of the commons actually happened or if it was just an example. This makes it sound like it's just an example. But real examples, uncontrolled human population growth leading to overpopulation, a preference for sons that make people abort fetal girls, air pollution, water, frontier logging. There goes six people, somebody going out that door and freezing everybody. Energy resources and climate, burning of fossil fuels, habitat destruction for animals, poaching, human and wildlife conflict, overfishing, and that's an interesting one. Antibiotics and something I've talked about before, that we're antibioticing ourselves into oblivion. Because someday, every time you kill germs, you create, a few of them survive. A few of them are tough and they survive, and you've just and they multiply much faster than human beings do. So you end up with a population of germs that is that's resistant to the antibiotic. Before you know it, we're all dead because none of the antibiotics work. This is something that Chief Klobmeyer was talking about, that you have to use antibiotics to do surgery because you coat the surgical instruments with antibiotics. Well, so if we reach the point where no antibiotics work, then we can't do surgery anymore, or else we're going to be contaminating everyone, which I'm not planning on surgery, but I understand what the certainly understand what the issue is. Okay. So, planning on doing that, and that's what I came to. Tragedy of Commons. How about that? Something I learned when I was studying for my PhD. I took an economics class and learned all and some other fun stuff too. I had a lot of fun. I didn't end up with a job out of it, but I certainly had a lot of fun. There's this message that keeps coming up from Blog Talk, and it must want me to share it with you because it keeps coming up, and I keep clicking it off, and it keeps coming up. So here's what Blog Talk wants us all to know. In observance to the holiday? That's what it says. In observance to the holiday, support will be closed on March 30th. That's tomorrow. Well, today now. And will open back up on Monday, April 2nd at 10 a.m. So now you know. And I've just gotten my low battery alert, and with 4 minutes left in the show. So let's see. We'll have to see if I make it. Because my charger, I was at my parents' house, and I left my battery charger for my laptop at their house. But I seem to recall that the power supply on my television is same amps and volts as the charger for this did. So I think I can charge this thing up off of that. We'll see. I'm going to give it a charge, and hopefully I won't fry the thing. I don't think you could actually do that. I mean, would they sell you power sources that could potentially fry something that was close? I mean, I understand pointing something in there plugging something in there that's not even close. I watched some guys fry a computer one time. We had when I was teaching, and we had the power outage for several days, and they had run a generator, and they tried to run the power cord from a computer directly into the generator, and poof. Really quite something to see. I guess you need, I would have known not to plug the damn thing straight into the generator. I know that there's something you've got to do in between. You know, there's inverters or transformers or something you got to put in there before you did that, because it would have been direct current, alternating current at least. And I think you probably got to step it down a few times too before you could use that stuff. I don't know. Where's Tom Edison? You need him. Tom wanted direct current. He wanted stick. We wanted everything to be direct current. And when the alternating current people came along, he did everything he could to blow them up. Including, he testified before the Congress or something about how direct current would be better for electrocuting people. Before executions, electric chair. He was selling his form of electricity, the direct current, as being better for that purpose than that alternating current. But ultimately, alternating current won the current wars, much as VHS won the format wars for videotape, and Blu-ray won the format wars for HD. Disc content over what was the other one? HD something. Was it HD DVD? Was what the other format was called. Okay, now I've forgotten my time thing, so it looks like I have survived my little flirtation with being cut off for battery life. So I'm at the end, and I'm going to bid you a pleasant good night. Thank you for listening.